I was asked a while back from a young lady in the back, Robin, if I would preach on this subject matter. And the reason she wanted to hear about it, she said she'd actually never, I believe, heard lessons about angels. Now, why would we teach a lesson on that? I mean, what does that have to do with us? I mean, it certainly wouldn't be a subject matter that would be very important to us, correct? Because angels are different beings and really, who cares? But that's not true. Angels aren't just that. There's much said about them, as we'll learn. And as we go through life, we notice that there are many things said, taught, and sung about angels that just aren't in the Bible. People say, well, that's just taking our liberty the way we want. And well, let's be careful with liberty. The things that are revealed are the things that are revealed, and the things that aren't revealed are God's part. There are things we do not know about angels. And so thus, we must never make a statement as if we do know. And the Bible's very clear about that, in which it says, be careful about talking about those principalities and powers, things you do not know. He warns us that that is sin. We have no right to talk about things we know absolutely nothing about, and we need to be careful about that. We do not take religious liberty where there is no liberty, and we have to be careful. And he talks about that in 2 Peter 2, starting with verse 10. He talks about those that are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And he's not talking about people on this earth. He's talking about beings that are in heaven, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. And he talked about all those beings that had existed. The word angel means a messenger or one sent on a mission in both the Hebrew and the Greek. It has the similar meaning. There's a lot of information given about in the Bible about angels, so the subject matter is important. So we're going to start our study this morning. We're not going to finish the study today. We're going to continue talking about this, and we're going to continue to answer some questions. This word also can just mean an ambassador, an angel, a king, a messenger. So we see the word that's used for this, especially in the Hebrew, can that base meaning. But there's many myths. And if I'm not projecting well, I'll just go ahead and apologize. I can't do much better than I'm doing right now. There are many myths and statements that are made about angels that are not found in the Bible. And I just let you know I almost called in sick this morning, but I didn't know how I could work that. So we're going to start our lesson with some of those and expound on them during the lesson and a lesson next week, Lord willing. When we look at these things, some myths and statements that are made. Angels are dead saints. Absolutely not. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. No way. Angels are women. I love that one because as we see it portrayed, they're typically portrayed as women. Angels sing. Guess what? Not in there. I know I'm seeing some smiles from people. It's never said. It's said that they praise. They can talk. They certainly can speak. And we find that said in multiple places, especially in 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about they do have a voice, but nowhere does it say they sing. Angels play harps. Doesn't say that either. Angels are to be worshipped. Doesn't say that. Angels are impersonal. That is, they have no feelings. That's not true. Angels have wings. You've heard that all your life. Other spiritual beings are said to have them, but we've got to remember that this is a vision to make you realize that, but it's never said about angels. Matter of fact, you could come near proving that God had them than you could an angel. That's just to tell you that. It says, using that, David talked about it, he flew. He's using it not in a literal sense, but it is never not true. Not true, not true about either one. Angels are just in the Old Testament. Actually, it's 108 times in the Old Testament, 186 times in the New Testament. So, not just an Old Testament subject. We know nothing about angels. That's not true either. There's a lot revealed about angels. Little children are angels. Be careful with that one because we'll find out there's good and bad angels. So, which one are you talking about? They're neither. So, just keep that in mind. Satan is a fallen angel. The Bible does not say that. He may very well have been, but it doesn't say it, so we have to be careful with that. Well, we all have a guardian or protective angel. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. We all have a guardian or protective angel. It does say some things about we have angels that look over us, but it doesn't say we have our own individual angel. It just doesn't say it that way, so be careful with it. angels can procreate, have offspring. There's a something that you've seen go around where that's where the mighty men of old came from, is where angels procreated with women. That is not true, will not be true, cannot be true. So just keep that in mind. At the end of this, next week, Lord willing, I will definitely go over some of these, but I'm going to go over them as I go through the lesson, so please keep that in mind. They were created by God. That is a fact. Back in Psalm 33, I'm going to do the best I can today, and I apologize. Psalm 33, verse 6. I'm going to take the time to read these. I'm going to do this carefully. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Now that might not include angels, but let's just see if angels are included in that. In Colossians 1, verse 16, when talking about Christ being the Creator, we learn that as the Word, He created all things. And we can learn from this what He created. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Well, again, let's see what that's all about. Let's go back now to Psalms and let's read more about the creation. Let's see if angels are included. Psalm 148, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. God created them. In the 104th Psalm, in other words, they weren't prior as God was. 104th Psalm, 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beam of His upper chamber in the waters. Who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. Who makes His angels spirits. His ministers a flame of fire. Hebrews 1:7 would repeat that. God is the only everlasting eternal being. In Psalm 90, verse 2, everything else came from Him and through Him. In Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. In Isaiah 43, Isaiah would talk about this as well and would point out the only everlasting being. In Psalm 43, or Isaiah 43, I'm sorry. Isaiah 43, 10 through 13. You are My witnesses, says the Lord, and My servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before Me there was no God formed, and beside Me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are My witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am He. And there is no one who can deliver out of My hand. I work, and who will reserve it? In the 44th chapter, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside Me there is no God. He's the only one, only being, it's eternal. But angels weren't just created, they also were created with a free will. They could make choices. They could decide to do whatever commands God gave them, or they could refuse to do them. None of us know. We might know some things about some things that God told them to do, but we don't know very much about the law that was given to them. Whatever that law was, they had to keep it. And if they didn't keep it, we find something happened to them. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned." The Bible's clear, where there is no law, there is no sin. There was some law that God gave them. He gave them commands to do. He gave them things He wanted them to do. If they did not carry those out in the appropriate way, God said they sinned. What did He do to them then? He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. We can see from this that God certainly made them free, as we call it, moral agents, to decide what they wanted to do. Some made bad choices. Some chose not to follow Him. Again, they were created before man. In Psalm 8, verse 5, He talks about this creation, and about angels, rather. And I'm going to show you by another passage that we can see from necessary inference that they were created before any humans were created. Psalm 8, verse 5. Talking about man, He said, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels." If the only way that would be possible is the angels were there first, and you've now made him lower than them, and you put all things, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. Now let's go to Matthew 25, and we'll observe something else that was made for these angels that sinned before man ever came into this world. In Matthew 25, we have to come to the unavoidable conclusion that they were here before man. Verse 41, "Then He also says to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That had been prepared prior to the world coming into place, and now that man has sinned, he too will go to that same place of eternal torment. The Bible says they do not marry, nor are given in marriage. Luke 20 talks about it, but let's go to Matthew 22, verse 30 first. Matthew 22, verse 30. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." The subject matter He's talking about is marriage and being given in marriage, and He says that doesn't happen with angels. That's not the way angels come into existence. They do not come into existence the same way humans come into existence after the first creation. Same thing said in Luke 20, verses 34 through 36, in which He discusses this in great detail about that. As revealed, man, as far as the Bible reveals, man is the only being, man and woman, spirit, human, that can marry and reproduce. The only one that command was given to was to multiply, to create more of yourselves, and again was given to Noah after they and his wife after they came out of the ark, and to his sons and their wives. That's the only one. It's the only one it's given to that it would be sinful to go outside that relationship, as we find in Hebrews 13, verse 4, talking about marriage is honorable among all in the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Thus they cannot be in that situation. Now what we find is that It's a number that God's not going to give us of how many of these angels are there. He talks about the fact that there's many, many of them. In Hebrews 12, verse 22, He talks about an innumerable company of angels, that it is more than we could possibly understand or know, and that's in God's right to know how many are there, not ours. He has not revealed that to us. Also in Psalm 68, He says the same thing in verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them in Sinai in the holy place. He lets us know that as we look around, there's no limit to whatever God has created for Himself in that realm. We can't possibly know that. They're called His host. And that just means a mass of beings, any great multitude. And in the 103rd Psalm, we find that they are this host of God. In verse 21, bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His, or angels of His, or servants of His, who do His pleasure. Also in the 148th Psalm, we read this earlier, that His host would be worshiping Him. We also find out that man, human beings, are made a little lower than angels. Now, it's impossible, if we were to actually put this in perspective from Psalm 8, we don't know how we would measure that. It's impossible for us to measure or put ourselves beside an angel and say, okay, we're lower in this respect. It just says we're lower than them. We're lower than them. We can see some obvious ways that we'll talk about later, but we are made lower than the angels. Back in Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? As far as man's concerned, you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. And in Hebrews 2, that same discussion is had about being made lower than the angels, and he discusses that because he will discuss that as in a relationship to Christ himself coming in the form of man and being made lower than the angels. And we'll talk about that later too. In 2 Peter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, whereas angels who are, and it gives two ways that they're greater than us, in power and might. He says nothing about wisdom, understanding, or anything else, but as far as power and might's concerned, they are much greater than we are. We could not stand against an angel, not one of us or all of us, if God gave them the right to do something, as we will learn later. The Word, Jesus Christ, became a man, not an angel. And this is an important thing for us to remember. In Hebrews 2, verse 9, He too was made a little lower than an angel for the suffering of death. The truth is, the Bible says that in verses 14 through 17, inasmuch then as the children have been made partakers of flesh and blood, talking about Christ, He Himself shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and receive those and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The truth is, Jesus was made in the form of a man, not in the form of an angel. He did not be made in the form of an angel to give aid to angels. He was made in the form of man to give aid to man, that through His death He might release us from bondage of sin. Never said about angels. Not once is it ever said that anything, anybody, was sacrificed for their sins. Another point about them, angels are already immortal beings. Another reason I bring this up, you see this all the time on television, right? They want to come back to earth. Well, they never were put here on earth to start with. You would think to see television that they can't wait to be a human being. Why would some being that's already greater in might and power than us want to lower themselves and to come and to live as a human being? That's not right at all. They're already immortal beings. They don't die physically. There is no death. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 2:9, it says that about Christ. He was made in the form of man, a little lower than the angels, so that He could suffer death. In the form of an angel, He would not have suffered death. So that wouldn't have happened. Luke 20, it talks about that, and it talks about the resurrection of humans versus angels. Let's go to, now read. I didn't read this earlier because we're saving it for this. Luke 20, verse 34. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy attain that age, and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. When this life's over, you won't be doing it either. There's nothing about marrying or giving in marriage. Won't be concerned about that. This was all a discussion about the man who had, the woman who had a husband. He died. She took another husband. Now, they asked this question. Which one of those seven sons is now going to be the husband in the resurrection? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. He said, well, you don't understand the Scriptures. There will be no marrying or given in marriage after you leave this life. And then he goes on to talk about this. Nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Angels don't die. That just doesn't happen. They're not physical beings. Thus, they do not die. Some of this may just seem intuitively obvious, but, you know, sometimes in our studies we need to try to learn everything. Now, some follow God. Some angels follow God, and I would believe that most of this host have decided that they want to follow God and are going to keep His commands. In 2 Thessalonians 1, we find about that there's a lot of these angels, and they're going to come back with Christ, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven, in verse 7, with His mighty angels. His mighty angels. In Genesis 28, verse 12, we find that angels, many of them, and I would argue most of them, were following God. They wanted to do exactly what God wanted them to do. In Genesis 28, verse 12, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, meaning that they're working in the affairs of human beings. That many angels are doing exactly what God wants them to do. And as I said before, they have law, but not the same as man. I use 2 Peter 2, 4 to show that they had sin, but Jude 6 also says exactly the same thing. The problem is they are given law and they are given free will, and thus they choose to do what they want to do. And that's a beautiful thing from God, but as many of us have talked about, we almost wish God had made it so we couldn't, so there would be no possibility of losing our salvation, but that's not the way it worked. In this, he says a little bit more about it. The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. But there are others that we will talk about that didn't do this. We've already learned they sinned, they didn't keep the proper domain. But Christ did not die for them. Christ came to this earth to die for us. And in Hebrews 2, 9 through 16, He clearly points out that Christ only came to take away our sins. But we find that some follow Satan. In Revelation 12, we find that Satan also has his angels. Now, we can't know for sure if these are some angels that God originally had. We would assume that they were the ones that have left their domain. But we know that Satan has angels. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon, which we know is Satan, and his angels fought. So he has his own followers, his own messengers, his own ones that are doing his will. When we think about this, they have choice. And we think about, did they make all the right choices? We've already found out they didn't. We don't find anything in God's Word about a way that they could come back to God. We don't find anything that says that they had the ability to take care of those sins that they had. The beauty of what God did when He created us is this. We too have choice. We can decide we want to follow God or follow Satan, just like they made a choice. We can do either one we want to do. But to follow God, just like those angels, we have to keep His will. The difference between us and them is that Christ died for our sins on the cross. He took care of us. He washed our sins away forever if we make the right choice and decide to follow Him. The question is today, are you willing to follow God or do you want to follow Satan? You have a choice. What's your choice? Please stand and sing the song.